welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. This is show number 46.
It is.
And it's July 29th, 2003. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind, of course. Here are the hosts for today's show, Don Shaw.
Hi, Tom. It is designed with the blind in mind.
You better believe it. Don Patterson's here today.
Yes, sir. From one house closing to another, I hope.
We appreciate you being here, sir. My name's Tom Houston, but now here's the creator and the producer of the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen. Phil Paul.
I'm sorry.
Is there an echo in here?
There's an echo in here. What's wrong with my microphone? Now, there it is.
There you are.
Come on, Tom. Turn his mic up a little.
Turn me down.
I was going to turn the creator off.
No, no, don't do that.
The creator will spite you.
There's a lot of different people have turned me off. Especially a lot of women. Hang on. I'll get the windscreen.
I've heard that.
Look at my microphone.
Windscreen.
I'm too old to care. But are you moved, Don? Tell us, Don. Are you successfully?
Well, we sold the warden's house, and so we moved back in my house, which was also for sale, and now I've sold it, so I'm going to wind up renting my own house.
Your own house.
My own house.
Well, there's always a wood shop.
That's one way to do it.
But we're moved part way. In other words, we're on our way out to Creek at some point.
I thought they call it Bear Claw.
Bear Claw, yeah. I'm Big Chief Bear Claw.
Chief Bear Claw. So you all moved. Well, I'm glad you finally sold those houses.
I am, too. It was time. It was really time, and it's strange that it came down within probably less than a month of each other, since her house had been on the market about almost headed for its second year, and mine just barely 6 months. So.
Well, it'll be interesting. Yeah. When you build the new house, it'll be interesting because we'll have lots of – I mean, we'll never work want for subjects then.
That's really true. Yeah, well, there's start. I think the bulldozer guy is standing by, as they say.
Are you kidding?
No, he's ready. He said, tell that guy to come out here. I'm going to tell me what to clear off.
So. Ready to roll out.
Man. Are you serious? I mean, the guy's ready to go.
Yeah, he's the builder's got the plans. I think we'll be able to go to the bank Thursday or Friday, and then
away we go.
I'll be darned. That fast. That
get
good.
That concrete slab down before that rain sets in.
Yes, sir. Rebob.
Yeah, I built both these things. I built this building and the house over yonder we built in January.
That's probably the worst time for concrete.
It is the worst time. We poured them both in January. But anyway, they're both high and dry. Well, let's see. We have those of you who are on the list. Those of you who are not on the list, shame on you. You should be on our handyman list. It's quite active. And we have a new list to tell you about. I guess everybody knows by now we're doing another show called Blind Like Me that immediately follows. If you're listening on ACB Radio and it's the right time, if it's July of 2003, we're going to be on a bunch of radio reading services. That's where we're saying it.
We are.
So we're doing this show called Blind Like Me. So we now have a list. BlindLikeMe@yahoogroups.com, right?
BlindLikeMe@yahoogroups.com.
Dash subscribe@yahoogroups.com,
actually.
And this is a list where we talk about everything. This is a general...
Man, the sky's the limit. Anything anybody'd want to talk about.
Well, by golly, I need to sign up for that, Rascal, because with the two lists I'm on already, I had about 800 emails in my thing, so I can't hardly wait to get signed up.
You need to do one more. Mine as well.
I thought you told Shaw to delete you from the...
I thought he was going to put
you
me
are
in the
no
sleep
mail.
Mode.
No mail.
Is he no mail?
Well, this other one, I need to get him to do the same thing.
On the mini list.
Mini thing.
But the new list, man, is a good act. I think it's going to be a good active list. A lot of conversation, a lot of BS.
And what we're looking for is subjects and people for Blind Like Me. And Walter Grimes, I got your email, and I'm going to call. I'll be in touch in a day or two. I've got four or five shows ahead. And I just haven't had time, but I'll get to you. Now, second order of business is this darn cruise that I'm trying to put together that I still do not. I just talked to Alicia, my travel agent. I have witnesses. You heard me, didn't you?
We did.
You heard
me. Well, he said it was Alicia.
It was Alicia. I swear it was. It looked like Alicia. Alicia's really cool now. Alicia has an office in Lufkin and New York. It's great. But she's supposed to be getting things together, and everybody that's on the list, on either list, will get an email telling you about prices and all that kind of thing. And let me just tell you, it is a brand-new ship. It's a big ship, great big thing out of New Orleans, 29th of um, 29th of
February,
and through the 7th of March. And I swear, by this time next week, we'll have a commercial done on it, and we'll have prices and everything. It's just been busy. I've been helping Pat move.
Things coming together.
Pay off and speak with a forked tongue.
Not a thing that I live on. I told y'all not to do that, you know.
Yeah, he said I was going to save $2,500 on the move and have spent $60,000 recovering.
Recovering.
On, you know, going to have a stroke moving out there in 100 degree weather. Come on, Don, get you into that couch.
Yeah.
But we got it done.
Anyway, it's all moved, and that's all that matters. That's all. And
it's
you'll
a
be
good
moving.
Deal.
You're moving in cool weather next time you move.
We're hoping, the guy said give him 4 months. So if he gets here the 1st of August or so, say August, September, October, November, maybe at least by January 1.
We could be singing Silver Bells.
I hope so. I'd love to spend Christmas there.
I'd love to spend it. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? All right. We'll get to, let's see. We did the cruise. We did the new list. That's Yahoo Groups. Blind Like Me at Yahoo.
Subscribe.
Blind Like Me subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
And what's our other ones?
The other one is Blind Handyman.
Blind Handyman.
At
subscribe.
At yahoogroups.com if you're not on it. And the cruise is coming up. What else do we have?
It is. And while we're doing this, you might as well send your email if you have some email to send us to blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
Yeah, very good, Don.
We aren't getting much email. And I'm a little hurt because you folks aren't cooperating and we're sick. We're coming to your homes.
We need that mail.
That's blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Is that right?
That's it.
Okay.
You
all right.
Got
Speaking
it.
Of email.
Speaking of email.
Yes. Yes.
My name is Chuck. No, my name's Tom Houston. My name is Chuck Atkins, and I'm Director of Operations, whatever the heck that means, at the Central Ohio Radio Reading Service, or as I call it, the Radio Reading Ranch. We would love to air your Blind Handyman show Saturdays at 11 a.m. If you would like us to air your show, man, that's wonderful. Could you or have someone send us some shows? He will need some shows.
We can do that. Get them right up there to him.
Exactly.
We already got a mailer address ready to go.
Yeah.
We're
going
to air one this Monday at 11 a.m. downloaded from the ACB radio to see how people like it. But we've already put it in our schedule because we love it. And democracy rules, right?
Yes, it does.
I'm 49, or will be in September. My dad is a retired contractor, and I know how to do nothing. I am great at talking about work. I've tried to cut grass and things like that, but I'm bad at mechanical things. The last person who asked for patience wound up with 24 kids, so I haven't asked for any lately. My snail mail is Central Ohio, Radio Reading Service, in Columbus, Ohio, blah, blah, blah. And if you ever want to have someone on your show who knows nothing, I'm your guy. So if you want some confirmation that I know nothing, I'll give you my ex-wife's phone number, and she'll tell you, hey, while you have her on the phone, go ahead and borrow some money from her for that new tool you've been wanting. She has plenty of it. Hell, most of it's mine.
That's right.
Look forward to hearing from you soon. Chuck, that's a good email.
This very guy's good. Got to go on the cruise. We've got to have this guy.
Got to.
He's something else.
He seems to be. The only thing, he didn't give us his ex-wife's phone number. We might actually want to. I'll call him.
A similar story, like the pro basketball player that was talking about that, about womanizing, womanizing. He said, why would you? He said, because when you, every time you see another woman, he says, I'm going to give half of everything I own for that.
I said, instead of getting married, I'm just going to find some girl I hate and buy her a house.
What a deal.
What's the difference, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, just a little aside. Anybody that wants to run this show on a radio reading service, if you have a radio reading service you want to run it, go to acb.org and go to the archives and get shows, or we'll mail them to you. Doesn't make any difference. But if you're going to run it, please let us know that you're running it. Not that that makes any difference, and you don't have to do that, but we'd like to know that you're running it just for our own information. So when we're telling people about the show, we can say it's on in this city and that city. And so if you're running the show, let us know that you are. But if you want some shows, we've got 46 of them, MP3 compressed on a disc, and we'll be glad to shoot you one if you want it. And if you want them, we'll mail you the current show. We haven't got that up and going yet. But we're going to start mailing current shows to radio reading services. So if you want to run it, be my guest.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Here's one from Tim Ford. He said, I had to laugh on the set of on this set of notes because over the years, keeping my sockets organized has been one of the biggest problems when working on cars. Now, one of the problems is that I always try to work with too small a toolbox, so it makes it harder to organize things. My wife recently bought me a fairly large tool chest, so all of a sudden I had the space to try some of these tool organizational tricks.
Yeah.
Now, I'm watching this list with great interest to see if someone out there has an idea on marking exact sizes. I know I could do something with tags, but the thought of having to work around tags, especially with sockets where you would need to remove them in most cases, causes me to not want to try that approach. One thing that I thought of only recently at least helped solve that metric versus American size problem. You can use any old grinding wheel to very quickly make a mark or a small flat spot on a wrench or socket. In my case, lost my place. In my place, this flat spot means metric. Be careful, though, because I was surprised at how quickly a bench grinder will remove metal from tools.
I bet you.
I thought the hardness of these kinds of tools would have made for slow or very slow grinding, but it took only a quick touch to make a mark that was deep enough to find quickly. Now, it took me only 30 years to think of this, and this is from Tim Ford. Thank you, Tim.
Right,
I often thought that you could, if you got a sighted person to help, because the metric idea is a good idea, but why not just line them up and put a nail down, like, in other words, lay them on a flat board, your sockets, each socket, from the smallest to the largest, and put a nail down them where they just, I mean, they'd be on that nail. So if you wanted, you know, get, you got 1/8, quarter inch, 3/8, half inch, right?
Yeah.
So you just go up the list, and if you wanted a half inch, you'd know it was the fourth one. You just count it because they go in eighths or sixteenths. Sometimes they go in sixteenths.
Yeah.
But you have to figure that out, and so they'd each be on a little individual peg or a nail or something. You could even hang this thing on the wall, and so you.
But then I know it's sort of like we talked about measuring things before. Does it really make any difference actually what the measurement is? And the same thing kind of with the tools that I've always, rather than grab like a half inch or a quarter inch or whatever, gone more, just kind of picked one up and checked to see if it was the right size.
Caring
what it was labeled, just as long as it would fit the.
Well, I never know what size I need. I mean, I have no, you know,
I don't have a clue either.
I've seen guys that could, you know, side guys that could just look at the boat and go, give me a 3/8, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Driver.
Yeah.
Give me that 7/16.
But open in 7/16 out there, Clyde.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't.
Can you?
I would mark my tools, but I can't find them, and I can see some. I never can. I just had to borrow what I need.
Stuff you need.
But the biggest thing is, keeping your metric and your American tools separate. Because, man, between an American socket and a metric are so identical, at least the two together, when you set them side by side, the same sockets, man, you would have to try them both just to...
If you
really
get one that's a little loose, don't use it.
Yeah.
You'll rot out that wrench, socket or whatever you got. If it's not exactly the right size, don't use it because you'll end up going around. It'll start slipping, and you've ruined the socket.
Sure have.
My wife bought me. I didn't think I was going to like this toolbox, but she bought me for my birthday a couple years ago. A big toolbox with drawers in it, and I've got sockets. I have my sockets in two boxes under the top drawer, and then I just have miscellaneous tools. But then I have three big drawers and two small ones. So like I have things that cut in one drawer, or things that open, like scissor things in one drawer, right? I have screwdrivers in one drawer. Then I have things that do wood, like hammers and little planers and files and stuff. And it's
I've done my box the same way.
Man, I'm a nut for organization.
Organization, man.
I just am. I even
all the pliers and cutting type things in one drawer and
5,000 CDs laying around in this studio. Yeah. I have no idea what any of them are.
What I did is I just went to Walmart and bought me a tool set that had all these sockets in it, the metrics and the regular.
And then kept it all together.
And then I just keep it in the box, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there you have
it. Yeah, because the boxes have the socket holders, actually, in a lot of the toolboxes you get now.
And and sometimes for the kind of the little quick jobs, you know, you need to do something. I'll tell you, that's a couple of things that I've seen on the on television for $19.95. Like there's this universal socket
thing
that will fit just several sizes, and those are handy to grab when you, you know, it's just a light,
yeah, for
light,
a quick light job
you have, and they're pretty good.
It's
and,
not bad. It, they have little ball bearings in there that some way or another fit around the bolt or the head of the nut or whatever you're going to do, and they work pretty good.
And they make a box-in wrench that's similar, that'll sort of a self-adjusting, and it'll fit several, three, four, five sizes.
Yeah.
And,
I've never seen that.
Well, it's box-in. I mean, it's a closed circle kind of thing, and it's adjustable type thing.
The one I've got is just a socket, and I've got it on the end of a handle that's laying on the workbench in the garage. And if you just want to do something light, it'll if you don't want to find the exact thing. All right, we have a guest, Donald Shaw?
We do. We have a guest coming up after the break, in fact.
His name is
Gail Crow from Nebraska.
Really?
Yeah.
From Nebraska.
Hey.
Home of large women and beef. And like only kidding. Just, it's a joke.
Big football player type.
I mean, anyway, it's I love them all. Every one of them. I've married several. But we'll be back in a minute more of the Blind Handyman. Hang on.
Hotmail.com. Contact information. Blind like me. Blind like me. Lowercase all one word at txucom.net. That's blind like me at txucom.net. Contact information. Blind handyman listserv. Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Contact information. Blind handyman at hotmail.com. Blind like me at txucom.net. Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your contact information. Do you remember
Simmons and Andy?
Harry Craig, confidential investigator.
Box 13.
Captain Midnight.
The Cavalcade of America.
Kondo. The Magician.
The Incomparable Charlie Chan.
The Cisco Kid.
Dangerous Assignment.
Dimension X.
Dragnet.
If you love old-time radio, point your browser to
www.otrcat.com.
You'll find thousands of old-time radio shows just waiting for you, and the price is right.
That's www.otrcat.com.
From Amos and Andy to X-1, this is The Source.
www.otrcat.com.
This is the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
You know, I'll be reading down the list every once in a while, checking the mail on the list for that day, and I'll be reading along, and I'll just read across something. I'll say, man, we need this guy for a guest. And same thing the other day, I was reading this email that this man wrote about cutting down a big elm tree, a 30-foot elm tree, with this chainsaw. And I said, man, we need to have this guy on for a guest, and that's what we've done. Our guest today is Gail Crow from Nebraska. How are you doing today?
Oh, just fine.
Good to have you here on the show, you and your chainsaw.
It's a pleasure to be here, and hopefully we can make it pretty entertaining and informative.
In fact, could you start it for us right now?
Fire it up.
I guess not.
That's you know, Gail, they made a movie called The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so I guess we can adapt it to Nebraska.
Yeah, that's right.
And you are, I think Don said that you are totally blind.
Yes, that's right.
Well, hopefully, if you and your wife are cutting down big trees, she can see.
Yeah. She is sighted. She's now my ex-wife. We've just unfortunately gone through a divorce, but
well,
at the time she was sighted.
Together, we've got 8 or 10 of those.
It happens
here. It does.
At the time you said she was sighted, now she's probably short-sighted. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, basically.
Damn, Pat may have won the one liner of the day just right there.
What a deal.
Just without anything else. So how long have you been blind, Gail?
Since birth. I have retinopathy of prematurity.
Yeah. I have the same thing.
And it's not going to get any better, is it?
No, it's not.
Well, I guess that's the way it goes. And you are what age, sir?
I'm 44.
44. So you're getting up there. You're closing in on us. You'll never catch us, but you're...
Closing
in. What do you have are you gainfully employed or not?
Yes, I am, actually. I own a vending machine business here in Nebraska.
All right.
Part of the Business Enterprise Program.
Okay. And that's set up by the state, or who?
Yes. The state basically furnishes the machines and the first inventory. And then from then on, you know, I'm responsible for running it as a business and providing the inventory. And
you're on your own from then on, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Now, do you have a driver? I guess you have a driver that takes you around.
Yes, I have a driver.
Drives you around to and services the machines and clean out those cash boxes and refill them and you.
Well, I do all that. He just drives me around and goes and gets the pop and candy out of the car when I need it.
Yeah, and you do the loading of the
and
machine.
And I do the loading and all the service work.
So yeah, what a deal.
It's kind of a team deal. They allow you to hire your own driver and pay them what you want to pay them a fair wage, I guess, whatever. I mean, the state has no control over that. That's where I'm trying to come from.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, how long have you been doing this?
About 5 years.
Is that right? Well, did you go to college? You go to go blind school? How did you tell us about your education?
Well, I went through 12 years of public school.
Really?
And then I also went through college.
No kidding.
I didn't get the degree, but I got through my junior year as a mass communications major with an emphasis on radio broadcasting and a minor in public relations.
Mass communications. I was trying to get math and radio television at the same. I didn't know. So you wanted to be a radio person, or what did you? Was that what you
yes.
thought you might want to do?
Yeah, and I worked in radio for about 5 years.
Really?
Yeah, at a couple of different stations, and then got out of that and moved back into the big city and married my wife shortly after that.
Well, did you ever work at KRVN in Lexington, Nebraska?
No. I until about 5 years ago, I lived in Denver.
Oh, you lived in Denver?
Denver.
Okay. Well, you didn't work at KOA either, I guess, did you?
No. Unfortunately, I worked for a little station in a town called Pueblo, which is in southern Colorado.
Yeah, as a disc jockey? Playing records on the radio or what?
Yes, uh-huh.
Is that right? And that's, I guess you fell in love with radio as a youngster.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. There are so many of us. I talked to a guy Sunday night from California who said, Phil, guess what I used to do? I used to sit up all night long tuning around on the AM radio to see what stations I could get.
Really?
Does that sound familiar to you?
Yes, it does.
Phil, have you ever done that?
Both the AM band and shortwave.
You have done that once or twice, and your mama going, did you go to bed and turn that thing off? You know.
Yep.
So, you know, and I can't figure out how to get a program together of us radio nuts, because there's lots of us.
That needs to happen.
It does, because I fell in love with, I knew what I wanted to do from the time I was 8 years old. I was going to be a disc jockey, and I did. I did lots of radio for lots of years, but there ain't no money in it, and it'll lead you to an early grave.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, but it was fun. It was great. I guess it was for you too.
Oh yeah, I would not miss that experience for anything.
Now, were you doing country, or top 40, or what?
Middle of the road, basically, with a lot of country and a lot of soft rock and adult contemporary. You know, we did a little bit of everything.
You did production. You did commercials and. Did you get in the production room and play or what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did that, too. Uh-huh.
But you ran out of a radio job. How'd you get to Nebraska? What would bring a guy from Colorado to Nebraska?
Yeah, no kidding.
Jesus.
Well, Denver is just getting so big, and I have a couple of kids, and we just decided that it would be safer to raise our kids in a smaller town.
Well, you're right about that.
And so we moved to Nebraska, and then about, back in 1997, I believe it was.
And found a job up there and have been there ever since.
Yeah.
Is that when you kind of got into vending after you moved to Nebraska then?
Yes, uh-huh.
I got
into the vending machines after I moved to Nebraska and did that. And then I branched out into selling candy and snacks to businesses on a route where you'd go to different towns and take a cart in and set it up and sell to the business employees.
Yeah.
I did that for about 3 years, and then my ex-wife is currently doing that part of the business. And
so that's she got that in the divorce, did
she? Yeah, she got that in the divorce, and I got the vending machines.
Yeah. You got the machines.
My wife got my Slim Quitman records. I didn't understand why the judge would do that, but anyway, they all got to get something. So, and you do this vending thing, and I get Don said something about you had
fixed up some houses
and sold them, or what? Tell us about that.
That was one of the things that we did in Denver. We would buy and sell fix-up houses.
That's a neat thing to do.
We'd buy a house for around $50,000, and we'd turn around and a month later sell it for about $75,000.
After you had come in and put in...
After we'd come in and done whatever rehab work needed to be done. Remodeled the bathrooms, sometimes the kitchens, put sheetrock up, redone electrical if need be, plumbing, whatever.
How much of this did you do? I mean, did you
majority
hire?
Of it.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So you
the only thing my wife really did is she did the painting. I can't paint.
You can't?
Can't paint.
Well, I don't understand.
Yeah, blind folks.
That's right.
Painting,
but she did the painting, and she did, like, on drywall, she did the texturing and whatnot. But yeah. I did the taping and the installation and, you know, all the rest of it.
And you lifted that heavy sheetrock and tacked it up
Yep.
And you did learn to do a lot of plumbing and stuff like that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because if you own the house, no matter where it is or what it is, you can, the city codes most times will let you do the work yourself.
Yeah.
You know. I need to take some lessons from you. I bought a house for $70,000 and spent a fortune on it and sold it for $70,000. Where did I go wrong?
That's not the way to do that.
No, it's not. So basically, these were, I have no idea what the housing market would be like in Denver, but these were, would you say lower income houses, lower priced houses, or medium, or what?
Lower.
Lower priced houses.
Lower cash value houses, and like I said, you'd buy, they were fix-ups, they needed a fair amount of work done, and you'd buy those and fix it up, make it look real pretty, and turn around and sell it and make a pretty good chunk of change.
You know, that's pretty good in any market, because I have some friends here, believe it or not, and they're elderly, they're actually older than I am, they're probably on their seventh or eighth. They buy a house and move in. Now, they stay sometimes like for a year or 9 months.
Yeah.
And they'll do whatever the house kind of needs. And, they scout out the neighborhood that they're buying into. But they do this as kind of a supplement to their retirement.
What a deal, man.
And make extra money doing that. But, I mean, these folks you're talking about, Pat, actually live in the house.
Yeah, they'll go move in it and stay there
while they're working on it.
Whereas you didn't do that.
No, I didn't do that. We just buy the house and live someplace else and put a month of fairly intensive work into it and then turn around and sell it and move on to another one.
A guy could make a good chunk of change. I got some friends in Texas City who are doing that. Unfortunately, they're hiring all the work done, so that cuts
that cuts it down big time.
Oh, it
cuts
really would.
So, profit.
So I guess you got a chance. Of course, we talk on the blind handy, but we consider every project we do as an excuse to buy tools.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I guess you ended up probably, or did she get those?
No, unfortunately, I didn't.
Mama didn't get those tools, or did you? Who ended up with them?
She did.
She did?
She did, unfortunately.
Man, my wife's a lawyer. You should have called me. Yeah, I'd been divorced so many times, and it cost so much, I just figured, hell, I'll marry a lawyer this time.
That's right.
quite, you might think about that, Gail, next time you...
Well, maybe he was.
Oh, maybe. So she got the tools, and you got to start over, huh?
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
But you got the, I bet, let me guess, you got the kids in the vending route, right?
She got custody of the kids, and she got the snack route, and then I got the vending machine route.
And she got all the tools. Oh, well,
and she got all the tools and got the house and got all the debts.
Remember, alcohol will help.
The house and the debts. Right. And how about that mighty chainsaw?
Tell us about the chainsaw.
do y'all share custody of that? Do you
well, that had gone long before this came about.
Is that right?
I haven't really needed it much in the last couple of years.
The thing about chainsaws, I've got a couple. I've got a small one, and my brother-in-law and I have a bigger one. But they're so noisy.
They are.
That they just terrify me. I mean, the noise is so intense that I'm petrified by it. But I guess what'd you do, put earplugs in or just nut up and do it or what?
Well, yeah, earplugs is the best way. Now, yeah. The one I used mostly was electric, but that's not that bad. That's not really much more noisy than like a table saw.
Oh yeah, they're quiet. We got one of those. They're neat.
Well, I never thought of that. These are both gas. I mean, you pull them and
they go. Mm-hmm.
And you can't talk from then on.
No, you can't.
The only thing that was worse, that was absolutely worse. Was, remember that wood splitter we rented, Joe?
Yeah, man, that was a noisy.
Oh yeah, those things are real bad.
We certainly weren't afraid of that.
It was plenty noisy.
Don and I split a lot of wood. They told us they brought it and said, I think I told this story, we'll show you how to work this when we get home. And boy, they weren't out the driveway. We were splitting wood with
it. Firing it up. Boy,
I can't see much better than I can.
It was neat.
What was your reason for cutting down this giant tree? Was
this elm
was
tree.
Firewood?
Man.
Or what were you?
It was dying, and it was becoming a major hazard to the house and to the street. And this tree was actually, it's about 60 foot tall. The base of it was about 33 inches in diameter.
Uh-huh.
I'm using a 16-inch blade on an electric chainsaw to cut this.
Oh, man.
Climbed up in the tree using a couple of ladders.
And did some top work?
Topped it off first and cut down some of these branches. But these branches were tree size in themselves. They were about 15 inches in diameter, and they were so big they stuck out over the street.
Oh, man.
And so you get involved in cutting it, and so some fool comes and parks under there, and my wife tells him, hey, this thing is gonna fall, and he gave her a little bit of lip, and then he finally moved on, which was good because I had cut through about halfway at that point.
Yeah, and she was hollering, Gail, hold it!
Yep.
I
knew
it.
He was down there because I'd heard him stop, and I'm praying that thing isn't totally rotten the rest of the way through and didn't fall, but
yeah.
It didn't.
See, what a great blind experience. How many blind guys have got the nerve to do that,
Yeah,
so you're
really
up in this tree with this electric chainsaw, and the guy's parked his car, so he finally moved, and you cut these mighty branches down. What is elm tree?
Yeah.
What is that wood good for? Is it good to cook with or burn with? What is it, softwood or hardwood?
When it's alive, it's fairly soft, but it gets hard pretty quick
when it's
after it's seasoned.
It wouldn't be any good to cook with, and it isn't any good to burn, is it?
Not really.
It's just junk wood.
So, Gail, if you've been blind, I think you said, all your life, tell me, how did you approach, what made you think you could use a chainsaw? Or did somebody describe it to you, or did you get one and examine it? How did you know even how to use it?
Well, my dad used to use a chainsaw when I was a kid.
Okay.
And, he had one of those gas models. Well, I didn't really dare touch that one because it was an older one and didn't have very many safety features. But I've always been the type that blindness is a nuisance, and that's basically all it is. And I was raised from the time I was very young doing that kind of stuff. I mean, when I was five, Dad would be doing something out in the garage, and he gave me this big old chunk of log and a hammer and nails and to play with.
That's
and
good.
So I'm 5 years old and just, driving nails.
Hammer and nails,
like, well,
yeah.
Just do it,
Yeah. That's what it takes,
well,
man.
You're really probably no more likely to hit your finger than a sighted kid would be. I mean, finger is just as well as it.
Yeah,
well as
that's
your,
right.
That's right.
And that's good. The parents who raise children like that using it with successful blind children.
Every story we hear is like that, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've heard so, since I started doing Blind Like Me, I've heard so many of parents that were, you know, if your kid's going to run into a post, let him.
Yeah.
That's right.
You might say, hold it, you know. But
But you do it, you know.
Right,
and,
you know,
and I mean, we had a doctor that gave them that lecture when they first found out I was blind and basically said, hey, this kid is normal. Let him do anything your other two boys would do.
That's great.
If he wants to do it, let him do it. And that's basically been their philosophy and you know, what's happened.
And a guy would have charged you $600 to have taken out this tree, at least.
Closer to about $1,500.
I've had some taken down, and it's an expensive. You wouldn't think it is but it's an expensive proposition. We've got some woods, and they say that if you have any timber, you lose 15% of it a year, and I believe it.
Yeah.
We've always got to. There's a couple back of the swimming pool right now that are out that need to come down.
I had an oak tree in my yard over here on Allendale, probably 12 inches in diameter. I don't know what age that would be, but it just fell. I mean, just probably 40 feet, 30 feet tall, and it just broke off right at the ground and fell.
Wow.
Had some kind of disease.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So think of all the money you could make if you came down here.
really.
All the string cutting, man.
Put your chains on a case and fly to Lufkin. Think of all that. Because we've always got trees. So you got the limbs off, and you've decided even with this short bladed chainsaw, you cut around it, you kept circling, or how did you...
I basically cut a nice big wedge out of it, and then I just started working...
Cut down into the wedge, right?
Cut down into the wedge and kind of worked on one side, and then I, like you say, I kind of circled it and went to the other side, and I got into the middle, and it was, sure enough, it was rotten in the middle.
Yeah.
And so it started to wobble a little bit, and I was okay, time to quit this, and I tried to figure out which way it looked like it wanted to go.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
How did you, I guess because you had a sighted wife then.
Well, we just basically, that particular time I was doing that one by myself.
Oh, she wasn't?
The bottom part.
She was gone? She wasn't there?
Yeah, she was gone. She was working.
What we didn't ask Gail is this is cutting down the tree what caused the divorce?
That would be the question, wouldn't it, to ask?
It had nothing to do with your divorce.
No, that didn't have anything to do with it.
We're rather insensitive jerks, Gail. Don't pay any attention
we'll
to this.
We'll ask anything.
I know.
We've all been through divorces, and we know what they're like. So you were there by yourself. I don't know if I'd have done that, my boy, but you did.
It'd be tricky, man.
How did you decide? What if it had fallen on the house? What were you going
to
do?
I wonder how you explained it to the
neighbors. Well, it was plenty far from the house, and, I mean, the bottom piece was only about 10 foot tall.
By the time you cut off the rest of the tree.
Oh, you'd worked it down to where it was only about 10 feet
tall. Yeah, I'd worked it down the rest of the way, and so it wasn't so bad, And I knew it wasn't going to hit the house. The worst thing it could do was take out part of the chain link fence. So I started cutting. Like I said, it started getting wobbly, and I could feel that it was wobbling more one way. And fortunately, that way was toward the fence. So I said, okay, that's fine. That's the way you want to go. So I just stood on the other side and finished cutting it through.
And
put my weight against it as I was cutting it, and it just went that way.
Push with one hand and cut with the other hand.
Uh-huh.
That'd be a mighty tree trunk, though, for that size chainsaw, wouldn't it?
It was interesting.
I admire your spunk, I'll tell you that. I don't know if I would have tackled that or not. I've never done one, and I'm too old to start now. I suppose.
Well, I started out on a lot smaller and worked my way up, so to speak. Of course, the neighbors all loved it. I mean, they're
yeah, they
you
always
see the curtains flapping, you know.
My brother sold tickets.
Chainsaw.
There's a blind guy out there with a chainsaw. Folks will get away from a blind guy with a chainsaw. They won't have much to do with you.
Yeah.
They'll clear it. You could walk through anywhere with one, and they wouldn't mess with you too much.
Probably not. No.
Well, we got to go and do a couple other things, but you've been a good guest. We appreciate you coming and sharing your tree cutting experience and your life experience with us.
Well, I appreciate having the opportunity and
come go on the cruise with us.
Come go on the cruise with us, man.
Have fun.
We'll find you a sighted woman to go. There's lots of them out there.
Oh, I know.
Excuse me, I was trying to get over that. Anyway, thank you much, and the show will be on this Friday night, sir. Thank you, and we'll talk with you.
See you, Gail.
Bye.
All right, back with more Don Shaw, our mystery subject, in just a moment. More of the Blind Handyman Show.
Hotmail.com.
That's blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
Contact information.
Blind like me.
Blind like me.
Lowercase all one word at txucom.net.
That's blind like me at txucom.net.
Contact information.
Blind handyman listserv.
Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
That's blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
Blind handyman at hotmail.com.
Blind like me at txucom.net.
Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
Do you remember
2000 plus? Famous and Andy.
Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Old Venture,
Box 13.
Captain Midnight,
the cavalcade of America.
Tondo, the magician.
The incomparable Charlie Chan.
A Cisco tip.
Dangerous assignment.
Dimension X.
Dragnet.
If you love old-time radio, point your browser to
www.otrcat.com.
You'll find thousands of old-time radio shows just waiting for you, and the price is right.
That's www.otrcat.com.
From Amos and Andy to X-1, this is The Source.
www.otrcat.com.
To the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
Okay, we're back here. It was a good guest. I enjoyed Gail.
Interesting.
Good sense of humor, and I'll guarantee you, any totally blind guy that wants to cut down a big tree with a chainsaw is a friend of mine.
Derby thing to do.
Yeah. We were sitting there with his box of Kleenex. A divorce happened yesterday, and we're making fun of it. Idiots that we are.
Get over it, Gail. There's always another one around.
Always another.
There'll be another one by. They're like
you'll get no sympathy here, Gail.
Boy, you won't.
A lot of
divorces here.
So now, maybe we're fixing to start on a new venture here. Maybe this is a new segment of the Blind Handyman Show. Anyway, our boy Don Shaw, we call him the Shaw Boy here, is going to come up and he won't tell us exactly what it is. It's kind of the mystery question of
it
discussion.
Is.
So here he is right now, Don Shaw.
Actually. Actually, we are going to a new subject here, from chainsaws to plumbing.
We need it.
Hell of a deal, isn't it?
Okay.
We need it, my boy.
Anyway, the question is, a lot of times in houses, in fact, this is the second house that we've lived in that's actually had this problem, and I understand from knowing kind of the history of the house that we live in now, this has been an ongoing problem now for the last years
say.
Anyway, and it has to do with the washing machine
drain line.
Yeah, and in a house that we lived in Conroe, we had the same deal. About every 2 years or so, we'd call a plumber, It would just, you'd be washing, everything would be fine, the water would drain out good. Then just all at once, you'd just notice that the line would start backing up just a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever noticed, if you stand by your washer while it's draining through, it's kind of like filling a glass. And when the water starts backing up in the drain, you can actually hear it.
Yeah, it's a
yeah. Yeah.
It's a change in frequency.
It is. It's a change in frequency. Mm. And I'm getting to that point now again where about halfway through the drain cycle, I need to shut the washer off, especially if you wash two loads back to back, and let it drain down and then start the washer and let it finish its cycle. But anyway, the question is, kind of back to that again, I know at some point going to need to call a plumber probably. We've done the Drano before in the past, you know, and that doesn't do any good.
Okay, but what keeps happening?
I don't know. This clog probably keeps reforming. I don't know if it's soap, like just soap or whatever that comes from the washer that builds up in the line or whatever. But the question I got for you guys is, I know where the end of this washer line comes out of the foundation at. And it's actually a big plug that is... It's a metal plug, and it's surrounded actually in a rubber casing that comes out of the edge of the concrete slab.
I don't think that's what that is.
It's a 4-inch
But it is.
I think that's a grease trap.
No, it's just for the washer. The grease trap is in the front of the house. I found it. I know where it is. This one's just for the washer, and the reason I know that is because the last plumber that was out here like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Tried to take the plug out and couldn't. Said it had been in there probably like for 20 years or so. And he did something with a cutting torch and took it out and put me in a new plug. And then I said, well, that, you know, I hadn't messed with it since then. That's been like two and a half years ago. Anyway, to make a long story short, I was going to go out today and take this plug out of this rubber casing just to release the pressure on the line. I said, well, maybe if I get lucky, it'll just wash the clog out of the line.
Yeah.
Wishful thinking, I know, but that was the theory behind all this. Anyway, the question is, this metal plug that's in this rubber casing, you can put a wrench around it, and you can turn it. You can turn it back and forth. You can turn it to the left like you're unscrewing a plug out of something. And you know, it's hard to turn.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think it screws in.
They pop out.
I think some way it pops out, but I can't get a grip on it with anything to pop it out. How does it come out?
Well, you don't. You channel locks.
I tried that.
And it won't work? And it won't?
Can you get in there in between that rubber and where it's turning?
With a screwdriver?
With a crowbar.
I tried a screwdriver. Not a crowbar, but I tried a screwdriver and couldn't get into it.
And it's 4-inch cast iron pipe, probably.
3-inch maybe.
I had a similar deal where the plug was missing, you know, when I redid mud. But number one on your drain, I mean, this is my opinion, because I had the plumbers over on Allendale several times.
Yeah.
And these houses are probably similar in age. Mine's 34, Allendale house. I don't know how old the Norris Street house is, but plumber explained to me, you know, they'll come out as often as you call them and do their little roto-rooter, and they can kind of get it going. But he explained to me that probably with the settling of the house, this line has leveled out. It's lost its grade.
Yeah.
And that's why I wound up running a new one. The thing over there, you're probably would be coming out of brick someplace. But
it comes out actually just below the brick, through the slab.
If you could... at some point, and what you would need to know, if you or we go fool with that and never get that plug out of there, we need to see if that line drains. In other words, your problem may be pre-entry to that main line. You know, your P-trap could be... So, like what I did, I just went around the house when I ran my new line and tied back into the old line, but I was past... Where this leveling out was.
Well, you know, this, of course, this is a house that I lived in for a long time that Don, and I had a plumber out there half a dozen times. And several times he got on the roof and came down through the vent pipe and fixed it.
Uh-huh.
So what I always thought is every winter there's some squirrel going well, gee, this would be a good place to hide my nuts. Yeah. You know, I'll put some cheese in here, crackers and pimentos and, you know.
Yeah.
So I always figured that's got to be what's happening. And I always thought, I'm going to get up there and put a screen. I never did it, but I've seen him get up on the roof and go down, put a long snake down through there, and bingo, it worked.
But, Shaw, also, I would check my disclosure.
That ongoing problem.
I think it was stopped up when he bought the house.
The ongoing problem.
That, remember, that was an as-is price. Mary had a fit. I said what I wanted, and I finally took an as-is price. It was probably stopped up when he bought it, wasn't it? But every couple of years, that drain has done that, and I bought that house. Second owner of that house in 1978.
Well, the reason why I'm certain of it was because when I bought mine, I know they had had problems, and everyone that had lived in this house had the similar problem. And the plumber just said what the house is settled enough where that line is flattened out, and it's hard to go. I wanted to drill back in there and try to get under the kitchen where this is and fix it, but he said, you know, we don't know what we'd run into, so I did my
But, you know, in
thing.
The position that Shaw's washer is in,
would be easy to run.
It would be really easy to run
auxiliary line.
A new line and go just come out through that brick there where you know, in the back of the house and put it just down close and go around the house and tie into the sewer. It'd be cheap
Super
and easy. If you get through the wall, it'd be easy enough too. But we got to figure out how we plug
a mason drip.
That's getting back to that plug. Is it supposed to pry out or just pull straight out?
I think you're going to use it. I bet you some plumbing companies have a thing because mine was set in like that, and I think they have something. It's almost like a wheel puller.
Or something.
Exactly.
That's what
and
I was thinking.
They'll pull it straight out.
You don't think couldn't put the vice grips on it?
I tried that.
If you could get a hard enough hole. Now,
that's the problem. There's not really anything to grip on too much.
Is it like a hex head nut?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You know, if a guy had a strong enough drill bit, you could drill a hole through that hex head nut and put you a bar in there. But I'd call Loggins or somebody.
I'm sure we're going to end up having to call. I was curious how that dang plug came out,
okay,
really.
But if you ever got it off, why couldn't you put a handle on it?
Oh, it could. If I ever get it off.
If you ever get it off,
I'll do
some sort of a handle on it, something that you can hook.
Even if the plumber pulls it. If the plumber comes back out and pulls it this time, I'll go 2 days later and get it myself. The problem is the plumber came two and a half years ago, put in the new plug, and I hadn't messed with it since then, so now it's hard to pull again.
Well,
I got
news for you. I didn't even know it was there.
Well, it's there, and
of course, I wasn't nearly as into handyman stuff then as I am now.
And see, like I say, if you were lucky and the obstruction was before it got to that line, that would be a good entry point for your new line.
I don't really think it is, though, because the problem is when this thing starts, and the reason I don't think it's up close to like the trap is because the water has to drain down a while before it starts backing up.
Well,
so I think it's somewhere further down.
See, mine
down
would
the...
do that, though. I could tell when mine was getting where it was not going to work. And it was just a matter of me. I probably, when I went around the house and entered back in, I entered in a clean-out plug.
Yeah.
That's where I did.
Now, this is a clean-out plug,
I put my new line.
Okay, let me ask you this. Why does your drain go that way, Pat Shaw? That's not logical. Does your drain go straight down? Because I know where your washer is. So we're thinking that it goes straight down and then into the foundation and then across to this plug and then on down into the sewer.
Well, your P-trap is...
I think it's just a clean-out place, actually.
There's no P-trap on a washing machine, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, is there?
Down in the concrete, there should be. There's a trap, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know why they ran that part over there.
Come on. Somebody answer that.
I have one. I mean, I know. There's a trap, yeah.
On a washing machine.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere down in the slab, there's a little elbow that goes down.
Or other sewer gas would come back in your...
Yeah, I think it's got
a
trap,
too. You got something there. That's true.
But the logical place to put this plug seems like it would have been just there in the back on the foundation.
Well, I thought you said that's where it was.
No, it's on the side by the ditch, actually.
Oh, it's on her side, on Mary Ann's side over there by the ditch.
Yeah,
because your line probably runs in at an angle in that house. Like, you've got your kitchen. Is there real close to your
washing machine? Well, the clean-out plug for the whole house, the whole main big thing is out in front of the house.
Well, see, I have two clean-out
plugs
in the front of my house. But then I had one in the back by the kitchen window. And that's where I wound up tying in.
Well, it's so logical for that to come across that way. I was thinking you said it was on the back of the house.
Yeah. No.
So here's the thing. We if you get the plug out, you know that I have an electric a snake on a drill.
No.
Well, I do.
Actually, I didn't.
You're welcome to it if you need it. I got a snake on a drill. And some guy wrote on the list the other day, I wonder if they're hard to handle. But once you get it down in the drain, they wouldn't be any harder handle for me or anybody else because you can't see what
well,
it's
you
doing
can't
anyway.
See
what's
it anyway, once it's down in there,
you're not
going to
know. But I've got a snake on the end of a drill if you need it. If you want,
well, if I can get the plug out, I might consider that because man, that should be the thing to run it up from right there, wouldn't it?
And see if it was between there and the washer. Wouldn't
yeah.
it be nice?
Oh, sure, it would. But I'm going to try prying that. I'll try the idea you said about with the crowbar or screwdriver,
yeah,
whatever
well,
I can get in
also,
there.
Well, then also, and I've got one someplace, we'd have to buy a bottle, and I think Phil's got one. Get a acetylene torch, and you need to heat up the outside.
I've got
that'll
one of those.
Enlarge, that'll expand it, and the plug would be smaller. Heat up around the outside, and maybe it'll pop loose.
That's a thought. I've got one of those torches.
If we don't get some email on this, we're going
to
quit this show. That's we're out of here.
We
ought to get some email on this. Don solved that washer drain on there. If you could solve that problem, that's one of the reasons I sold
it. Read your disclosure, Shaw.
Plumber City.
I think I wrote it in Braille, and I can't write Braille.
Yeah.
I think I did.
What a deal,
anyway,
man.
Another one gone. 46, guys.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, how about
46.
52 in spite of ourselves.
Well, stay tuned if you're listening on ACB Radio, and it's 2003 for Blind Like Me with Phil Parr, Dr. Bob Peters will be on next. He is the dean of Tyler Junior College.
All right.
And has had quite an interesting life. I think you'll enjoy it. Blind Like Me is next. And thank you, Don Shaw.
Yep, man. Good shot.
It was good. Patterson?
Yes, sir. Enjoy.
We didn't get a chance to talk about you, Inspector. We'll save it for next week.
Next week.
Don Shaw trashes home inspectors.
Don Patterson.
Don Patterson trashes home
inspectors. And Don Shaw, too, for that matter.
All of us. Thank you, Tom Houston.
Enjoyed it.
We appreciate you, and we'll see you next time. Join the list, Blind Like Me. Subscribe at yahoogroups.com, Blind Handyman.
Subscribe.
Send us some email, blindhandyman.com. We'll get email to us. We love you. See you on Blind Like Me. Till next week, Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.